All right, Manitoba, welcome back to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful day as always. Real fast, Manitoba, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff that helps out the show, especially sharing. It really does help. This is a live show, Manitoba, Tuesday and Thursday, 9 o'clock. So, like I said, share. It's the best way to help. The big ass Manitoba would be go to Rumble and follow me there. I am forever fighting the inedible Facebook ban. It is bound to happen. So, like I said, Manitoba, the big ass would be go to Rumble. All right, Manitoba. Just like the title says, Wob Canoe, his approval rating is climbing. But why? Like, I mean, I don't understand. Like, what has he done so far, Manitoba? What has he done so far? Either way, I'm just going to get right into it. Canoe's political honeymoon continues with approval rating climbing higher, poll suggests. From CBC News. Manitoba's approval of Wob Canoe's leadership has gone up, securing his spot as Canada's most popular premier, a new poll suggests. But a political analyst says his popularity will be put to the test come budget day. In a poll from Angus Reid Institute, 63% of respondents said they approve of Canoe. That's up 6% from a 2023 survey that also placed him as the most popular premier in the country. Quote, I am surprised that it's gone up by 6 points. That's not just as high up as it was last time, but even higher, said Chris Adams, a political analyst and adjunct professor of political studies at the University of Manitoba. Since Canoe's NDP unseated the Progressive Conservative Party on October 3rd, he has followed through on different election promises that likely boosted his popularity, including his plan to temporarily cut the provincial gas tax, Adams said. Okay, Manitoba, I'm going to stop you right the article right there and say that is the only thing that he has done. He's axed all the previous conservative policies, like I talked about last show, the surgical task force, the first one that comes to mind. He refuses to fight on the carbon tax like other provinces are doing. So literally, Manitoba, the only thing he has done is put in a temporary gas tax relief. But I'll continue. Canoe also hasn't had to face tough opposition in the assembly yet, Adam said. He has gotten some fairly good attention across Canada. The fact is that he's a First Nations premier, the first in Canada to be a First Nations premier of a province. I would say that he's held himself pretty well in the media since his election, says Adams. Canoe's cabinet is also fairly new to politics and hasn't made any major mistakes so far, he said. Again, Manitoba, I'll say they haven't done anything. Hard to make a mistake when you really, honestly, don't do anything. When it comes to the problems Manitobans are facing, including issues with hospital, emergency wards, and inflation, voters might be placing blame on either the federal government or the former PC government, Adams said. Quote, Wob Canoe has shown himself to be quite competent as a premier. At every event we are now seeing Wob Canoe at, he's winning accolades. Former PC Premier Heather Stephenson had the lowest approval rating of all provincial leaders, ranging from 21 to 28%. And Manitoba, that literally came like in the first couple weeks of her election when she was asked about the death of a Manitoba being transferred out of province. And she paused in the house to brag about her son getting some hockey award. That tanked her approval rating right from the beginning. And a lot of conservatives already had a bad taste with the PC party with their COVID lockdown measures. But I'll continue through her What the fuck is wrong with me, Manitoba? Brian Pallister went out with the worst approval rating in Canada at 32%. Through her predecessor, Brian Pallister went out with the worst approval rating in Canada at 32% when he stepped down in 2021. His approval rating was 21 points higher when he was first elected in 2016. Like I said, Manitoba, that all has to do with his COVID measures. That put a bad taste in a lot of conservatives. The number of respondents who disapprove of Canoe shrank from 28% in the 2023 poll to 23% in this new poll. 14% of respondents weren't sure how they viewed Canoe. That's 2% lower than the 2023 poll, though it's still the highest uncertainty rating among the provinces. Again, it's pretty new, and he's a brand new premier, and I'll keep stressing in Manitoba, he hasn't done anything. Quote, there are people still waiting to see, and probably people who have voted PC, Progressive Conservative, whether they really dislike this government or not, Adams said. Canoe's numbers suggest the honeymoon phase of his role as premier has continued into the new year, but the release of Manitoba's budget on April 2nd will be where the rubber hits the road, Adams said. People will see which of the NDP's promises are kept and which will get funding, he said. Quote, we will start seeing people having views on how this government is working. The budget is expected to focus on healthcare and investments in Manitoba's low-carbon economy. The poll was conducted online February 28th to March 6th using a representative random sample of 4,550 Canadian adults who are members of the Angus Reid Forum. In Manitoba, the sample size was 354. So, I mean, while they claim less than 400 responses is good enough, I don't really know if that's a good enough sample size. But let's take a look, Manitoba. Here is the what it looks like across the country. So Manitoba, like the article says, is leading at 63% approval. Second place is Moe in Saskatchewan at 53%, followed by Ebby of BC with 48%. Danielle Smith is fourth. Danielle Smith of Alberta at 47%. Tied with Newfoundland at 47%. Houston, 44%. Ford of Ontario, 34%. Lagarde, 32%. And in last place, New Brunswick, Premier Higgs at 31%. So, ouch. But Manitoba, Wab Canoe, I guess, is enjoying his lead for now. He's also been getting very favorable media coverage as well, and that helps a lot. But here is the funny thing, and this could be part of the reason why he is experiencing some good favorability. Like what NDP always do, they take credit. When something goes good, they take credit for other people's hard work, Manitoba. Manitoba's NDP government advertises income tax cuts initiated by Conservatives. Manitoba's NDP government has launched advertisements touting income tax cuts that were put forward and passed by the former Progressive Conservative government. The ads, which appear on social media, feature smiling single people, couples, and families with different dollar figures that represent their estimated annual savings. Excuse me. A man called John is depicted as saving $632, while a family with two kids named the Kims is shown as saving $1,386. The tax cuts are already in effect and were put part of the Progressive Conservative budget released last spring, months before the October 3rd election, and saw the NDP power sweep to power. Quote, I think this is an important way for us to ensure Manitobans know about the work that we're doing and delivering on our commitments, Finance Minister Adrian Salas said in an interview. The NDP could have halted one of the tax cuts after the election, Salas said, but chose not to. Soon after taking office, the NDP said that the deficit was much higher than the Tories had stated. Quote, we had a decision to make before the end of October as to whether or not we are going to follow through, and we made a promise to improve affordability, and so that's exactly what we did. We followed through on that promise, end quote. The Tories, now in opposition, said the NDP ads don't mention who enacted tax cuts. Quote, they need to thank the previous government for those savings, Tory finance critic Obi Khan said. The tax cut has two components, a rise in the basic personal amount people can earn before paying income tax, which took effect last year, and increases to the thresholds at which higher tax rates kick in, which took effect January 1st of this year. The ads follow another ad campaign that has promoted the NDP's government temporary suspension of the provincial fuel tax, which started January 1st and is set to run until June 30th. Some $200,000 has been budgeted so far for the campaign. Cohen said the Tories' income tax cuts are better because they are permanent, while the NDP's fuel tax holiday, which saves consumers 14 cents a liter at the pump, is temporary. And I'll have you know, Manitoba, according to the figures from the NDP, Manitobans are going to save a total of $26. So it's not the $600 that they were touting. The gas stayed at that price for about a week, and then they already shot up. So, excuse me, Manitoba. Here's another reason, Manitoba, why the NDP could be receiving such favorable approval rating, is because the NDP typically govern for the loudest, most obnoxious group, the loudest minority. So whoever's the loudest, and I'm not saying I disagree with this article, I'm just saying it's not a way to govern, to flip-flop back and forth. I already covered now the carbon tax flip-flop. Every week, Canoe was going back and forth on whether it was a good idea or a bad idea for Manitoba to be exempt on the carbon tax. And this seems very similar. Manitoba reverses course and will keep exams in place during assessment process overhaul. Manitoba government is doubling back on plans to scrap some provincial exams in grade 10 and 12. Quote, we've always said we are a listening government and sometimes you have to reevaluate your decisions. And based on the concerns expressed by some who are opposed to the decision, we're reinstating provincial assessments, said Nelly Altomare, Manitoba's Minister of Education. This is me. This is my decision. In a letter sent at the end of February, Deputy Education Minister Brian O'Leary informed school divisions that the NDP government was halting the grade 12 provincial exams in math and English and the grade 10 provincial evaluation starting in the 24-25 school year. The intent was to review and redevelop the program to make sure that what the students know is properly assessed and the instructions can gauge their success in teaching those students. The overhaul was expected to take several years. O'Leary's letter said the redevelopment would move the exams online to obtain results and analysis quicker. Manitoba, moving it online is not a good idea. School grades are dropping every time things get moved online. The changes were also meant to ensure assessments are integrated and aligned in early, middle, and senior years, and give teachers and policymakers data to help meaningfully track cohorts of students from kindergarten through senior years. On Tuesday, Altomare said the about-face was primarily based on feedback about students entering university or college and being shell-shocked by the demands. Quote, kids need to be prepared for post-secondary and whatever pursuit they want to go down. Whatever road they want to go down, I needed to give that a little more weight, and I did and changed our decision, he said. People in the field felt that this is really, really important that we continue, and we will. In the meantime, the government will still proceed with a redevelopment of the exams and assessment process. Quote, these are over 20 years old, plus they're not online, so we need to get them online, he said. All the assessments that we do through school at grade 3, at middle years, and at senior years, I would like kids track through it. And we do that through putting them online and making sure that we can provide the resources based on the results that we get. Altomare anticipates it will take 3 to 5 years to complete the redevelopment. During question period on Tuesday, PC MLA Grant Jackson from Spruce Woods criticized Altomare for flip-flopping on the issue. Quote, what is this minister's actual view on provincial exams? Are they good for students or not, he said. Altomare said he refuses to politicize the issue. Quote, we've heard the concerns regarding provincial assessments, and we're going to look at that again, he said during question period. Not only are we going to reinstate them, but we're going to get it right. Of course, assessments play an important role in a student's life at school. We want to ensure that peace continues. So Manitoba, while the polls are definitely going up, like I said, or like the article says, Canoe and the NDP government are enjoying their lead across Canada as the most popular premier. But there are groups across Manitoba that are starting to see through it already. And the NDP government's only been in charge, what, for 5-6 months? So, seems like a little early for, and again, this is what the NDP wanted to be elected on, the mandate to fix our healthcare, right? That's the mandate they wanted to be elected on. I'm just going to pull it up, Manitoba. Give me a sec. I haven't had any technical issues up until now. So, I mean, that's par for the course. And Manitoba, I was literally going to get higher speed internet and I missed my appointment. They were supposed to come on Monday. Okay, well, I'm just going to read you the article until when it pulls up, it pulls up. But remember the mandate of our healthcare? You know, with the government, with Wob Kanew keeps on telling us that's what he elected. We elected him on. Healthcare. That's the mandate we gave him, right? Quote, why would I come back? Nurses aren't taking up government's plan to return to healthcare system. That is the takeaway, Manitoba. Nurses aren't buying it. Last month, the provincial government announced a plan to encourage former nurses to return to Manitoba's healthcare system. But according to the head of Manitoba Nurses Union, the early reaction has been anything but positive. They will, despite Manitoba, they will keep coming off as a win. Quote, the reaction I got from nurses who reached out to me is exactly the same reaction as it was in our comments section of the post. Of that post is that this is not an incentive that would bring them back into the workplace, said Manitoba Nurses Union President Darlene Jackson. Retired nurses left for a reason, and to be very clear, the situation hasn't gotten any better. What they're basically saying is, why would I come back? February 28th, Health Minister Uzumu Azagara announced the province was working with three nursing regulatory colleagues to create a streamlined path for former nurses to return to work. The interim changes would ensure former licensed practical nurses, registered nurses, and registered psychiatric nurses who worked in Manitoba's healthcare system in the last 5 years and were in good standing with the regulatory colleague have a faster, more flexible pathway to return to their profession. Safety, mandating overtime, workload, nothing has been done through that announcement to address those issues, and until those issues are addressed, I don't see us getting very much of an uptake on that announcement, said Jackson, who spoke at the February 28th press conference. Jackson said the proposal would only work if a desirable work environment is created. Quote, it is very difficult to entice people back to a situation where you're working sometimes 16 hours without a break, where there's violence in your workplace and people are afraid to go to work, said Jackson. They know that they're going to experience violence in their job. Workloads are crushing, and I just think that we need to address those issues. We need to start by retaining those that are in the system. Frankly, this government must do whatever it can to retain those nurses, because until we can provide a stable staffing, the nursing shortage is just going to increase. We will stabilize staffing if we can retain the nurses that are here, and once they're retained, and once we have the new grads come in and they're working in facilities and not feeling overwhelmed, we'll bring more nurses in. But we have to stabilize staffing, and the only way to do that is through retention, end quote. In a statement, Azagara said that creating streamlined pathways for nurses to return is one element of the government's work to staff up Manitoba's healthcare system. Quote, we've taken several other important steps in addition to this, but we know there's a lot more work ahead of us to change the culture in our province's healthcare system, they said. We are committed to addressing issues of workplace violence and ensuring workloads are manageable. We have heard from many frontline health professionals during our listening tour who have offered solutions, some which we've actioned, and we are going to continue that dialogue going forward as we fix Manitoba's healthcare that was decimated by the previous government. In last year's provincial election, the NDP campaigned on improving our healthcare system. Quote, the NDP ran an election campaign almost entirely on healthcare, yet still have not brought forward a credible plan to retain, train, and attract more healthcare workers in Manitoba, said MLA Kathleen Cook of Roblin, the PC health critic. Manitoba patients deserve answers from this NDP government, end quote. Jackson said the MNU will be monitoring the success of the changes in attracting more nurses. Quote, I am very interested in the uptake is because I think it's important to know exactly where nurses are right now. And at this point, I can clearly say that the nurses I'm hearing from have no intention on going back to the situation. Manitoba, this has also led to a nursing shortage. Nurse shortage prompts state of emergency in Pamakwek Cree Nation. Now, just so you guys know that this is the nurses on First Nations are under the jurisdiction of the federal government. But the point is, this problem is province-wide. So we federally are also behind on nursing. So the nurses, the people working in healthcare and the people experiencing healthcare are not buying this Angus Reid poll. Not only that, Manitoba, our nurses are on their biggest. Right now, we have the biggest Manitoba strike in Manitoba history, the biggest health worker strike in history going on right now. So we are in dire straits. So it's not only the nurses, Manitoba. It is not only the nurses. Even the protesters say they're fed up with the NDP government's inaction after promise to search landfill for slain woman. So Manitoba, this was their bread and butter. When they couldn't get you on health care, they tried to play the race card. And Manitoba, they went hard on the race card. They kept saying that the PC's advertising were racist, and just the PC refusing to search the landfill was racist. Meanwhile, Manitoba, we have the NDP government refusing to do the search as well. Daughter of Morgan Harris, sick of words with no action. AMC Grand Chief, done begging. So Manitoba, people are starting to see through the NDP and the such positive response they get through the media. Protesters demanding a search of the Winnipeg area landfill for the remains of three First Nations women directed their anger at a new target Friday, Premier Wahb Kanew, who has yet to deliver on a campaign promise. Chants of Bring Out Wahb ring across Manitoba's legislative grounds on International Women's Day as around 300 people gathered to hear speeches after a round dance and march through downtown Winnipeg. Quote, I'm sick of words and no action, said Cambria Harris. It's believed the remains of her mother, Morgan Harris, are in the landfill. I'm sick of sitting in these rooms repeatedly with politician to politician, from premier to premier, and where have things gone? Nowhere. The progress stays the same, Harris said. Friday's demonstration was part of a national day of action, urging governments to begin scoring the landfill. Several events were held across the country. The Winnipeg event began with a round dance preceding a march to the steps of the Manitoba Legislative Building, where Harris and others spoke. Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs Grand Chief Kathy Merrick told a crowd she's done with pleading. Quote, we're going to quit begging. No more begging. Do the effing work, she said to a round of cheers. Harris said they voted Kanew's government into power last October because of his commitment to search the landfill, which the previous PC government rejected and then turned its opposition into an election issue. And now it's time for him to hold up on his word, she said. Friday's demonstration was held on International Women's Day. Quote, I don't understand how these governments can celebrate our women and our diversity when our women are still laying in landfills, in garbage dumps that remain gravesites to this day. Shame, Harris shouted. Are you okay with letting women lie underneath piles of trash? What message and what precedent does that send? Jordan Myron, sister of Mercedes Myron, blasted Canoe for making promise after promise, but proving to be all talk and no action. Let's make some more noise and maybe he could hear us from in there, she told the crowd. A few hours later, the premier addressed reporters and again insisted that the government would search the landfill, but he would not commit to a timeline. In February, Canoe was asked if he was confident the search would start in 2024, and he replied that he was, but on Friday, he said any previous timeline was more aspirational than specific. Activists who stand outside the building have an important role to play to push our government forward, and our role is different, he said. We put in our work and this side on this side, and the activists and families put in their work. Canoe added that he wouldn't comment on operational details or funding for the search, nor whether the process has faced any hurdles in the preceding months. Quote, I'm not at the stage of sharing details with the media. I think it's important to talk to family and talk to Indigenous leadership first, he said. Harris said another meeting has been scheduled for March 25th, involving all three levels of government. Canoe, Federal Indigenous Affairs Minister Gary Anandasangari, and representatives from the city of Winnipeg will meet with the Harris and Myron families. Canoe said Friday that his government will give the AMC $500,000 to provide support to the victims' families during the trial of the man accused in their deaths, scheduled to begin at the end of April. All right, so the nurses aren't buying it. The protesters aren't buying it. Basically, all the people, and for all the reasons that the NDP was voted for, are already falling apart. And what is Manitoba's focus? Something where he doesn't even have any political influence over. Wahb Canoe still focusing on Gaza. Why Manitoba? Because it sounds good. Like, why else would they be so focused on Gaza? For a provincial government, it's just so frustrating. When our province is on the brink of a healthcare collapse. Ceasefire needed in Gaza as civilian casualties mount, Premier of Manitoba says. Manitoba Premier Wahb Canoe is asking the federal government to call for an immediate ceasefire in the Israeli-Hamas war. Canoe says Israel has the right to exist and Hamas must be destroyed, but the growing destruction and famine in civilian areas must stop. So he's just trying to tote both sides. He told a legislator that Israeli government could have targeted Hamas narrowly rather than in a way that has broadly affected civilians and supplies of food and water. The premier says it is unfair to hold people collectively responsible for the actions of Hamas. Canada has provided $100 million in the aid to Gaza since the Israeli-Hamas war began, following the Hamas attack on October 7th. Manitoba, do you guys think that $100 million could have went to better causes in Canada? Like to maybe our homelessness problem, our drug problem, our housing crisis, our healthcare crisis? $100 million could have went a long way to attract nurses in Canada. Instead, we want to fund a war. We want to fund two wars. So that day, militants killed about 1,200 people. We all know this, and obviously it's bad. But for the fact that our Manitoba government is focused on Hamas is mind-blowing. When, Manitoba, this is our reality. Sometimes a tire will blow out, potholes impacting Winnipeg drivers. Manitoba, focus on this. Do you know what I mean? Like, here's an easy win. Fix our fucking roads. An unseemingly warm winter comes to an end in Winnipeg. A familiar sight is present again on Winnipeg roads. Get this, Manitoba. According to MPI, 406 pothole-related claims came in last month. compared to last February, where there were only 86. That is quite a crazy jump. March may be a bad month for pothole claims. Also, MPI said in the first 11 days, there's already been 98 claims. While last March, there were only 204 for the entire month. Quote, "That's so many potholes," said Tanya Manjuma. "And I'm just scared and my car is going to die or something with these potholes. They're too big." End quote. Well said. Dan Roller, manager of Penner Auto Body, said the impact of potholes on a vehicle can be costly. So Manitoba, this is affecting Manitobans on a daily basis. The city of Winnipeg said it has already patched 1,500 potholes since Friday. However, crews could only use the cold mix to fill potholes, which can't provide a repair that lasts as long as the hot asphalt mix used in the summer. So Manitoba, we're already 1,500 potholes were fixed poorly and are going to be needed to be refixed. This is what we do in Winnipeg. It's mind-blowing. But Wabkanu can easily focus on things that actually matter in the province. Do you guys not agree? Guys, comment below. Comment below, you guys, if you guys think that Manitoba, we should be just even mentioning the word Israeli Hamas in the Manitoba legislature. In like, you know what I mean? Provincially. Why is this even brought up? Not only that, Manitoba, they spent hours this week debating it. The last few sessions in our house, in the MLA, in the house, they're still debating amendments to all these acts for Israeli-Hamas war. Instead of fixing our potholes, instead of attracting nurses to fix our healthcare crisis. So Manitoba, for the love of God, I do not understand why Wabkanu's approval rating is still going up when, like I said, he hasn't done anything. And the things that he actually wanted to be elected on, he's failing. And it's been half a year, Manitoba. Quit blaming the former government already. It's time to do something. Well, Manitoba, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, this is a live show, Tuesday and Thursday, 9 p.m. So please join me Thursday. I will be back, Manitoba. Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, that's Manitoba Freethinker Podcast. If you want to follow me on TikTok and X, it's MB Freethinker. But like I said earlier, Manitoba, the big ask would be go to Rumble, please, and follow me there because I'm fighting the inevitable Facebook ban. But either that, Manitoba, like I said, thank you for tuning in. And I'm going to be back on Thursday. So I'll see you guys then. Bye.